There is anxiety around it as to what will happen. One of the big anxieties, it would be the border. There would be a very, very definite, very adamant that there would be no hard border in Ireland. That's unthinkable, utterly unthinkable. Our situation here in the north of Ireland is unique because we have a population almost equally divided between those with allegiance to England and the British Parliament and those who do not have that allegiance, whose allegiance is to an all-Ireland republic. So it's extremely important with this Brexit business that the Irish identity, the national question for many of us, be absolutely safeguarded, that there is no border between the two parts of the country, because whether certain people like it or not, we're dealing with people who are Irish citizens, European citizens. The majority of people here in the north of Ireland voted to stay in the EU. And whether certain people like it or not, this is not just a question of what the UK decides. There are people who live here who have every right to live here, who belong here, who do not have allegiance to the United Kingdom.
It's taken over 100 years, hasn't it, really, for the United Kingdom to recognise that Irish identity here in the six counties. Yes. And now that, the peace process and the Good Friday Agreement, yes, was kind of like a watershed, really, for that, wasn't it?
It was, absolutely. It was a remarkable breakthrough after all the years that we talked about earlier there, the what happened in this parish, the Ballymurphy Massacre, etc., and all the other atrocities that were inflicted on both sides of the community, and also the sufferings inflicted on security forces and so on, all of that horror, a solution, not a perfect solution, there's no perfect solution to all of this, but a solution was found after long, painstaking work. And for that to be endangered in any shape or form is absolutely scandalous and would be unforgivable.
Are you worried things will roll backwards?
There's always a dread and a fear that that could happen. No, yes, because the border is such a sensitive issue. And there's always a risk and a fear that those who feel that they have a reason for violence, an excuse for violence, will take that as an excuse to start war, trouble again. God forbid. But that's such a serious matter. The agreement, the historic agreement that all Ireland agreed to, the whole nation, the whole 32 counties, over 74% of all the people of Ireland agreed with it, that has to be very carefully maintained. And I'm no expert on politics or anything like that. It wouldn't be my interest. But nevertheless, there is anxiety around this Brexit business. The whole thing is a mess. Let's face it, it's an absolute shambles. And how we're hoping, obviously you can only but feel sympathy for Theresa May and her attempts to try and negotiate out of this awful morass. But nevertheless, I think it's very, very vitally important that we're in any future arrangements, that the unique position of the north of Ireland is respected and taken care of.
Do you feel the community here in Springhill in West Belfast feels it's being given fair representation by Dublin?
I don't think so, because unfortunately we don't have the that's something I think that needs to be addressed. Why would we as Irish citizens not be fully represented in the Dáil? We're not. The fact is, I'm not terribly exercised by politics. I would be very strong on the national question. I'm a nationalist. I believe in a united Ireland. I see myself as an Irish citizen. I don't subscribe to Britishness, for want of a better term. And there are many people of a similar outlook, and I think we all have to be accommodated, as much as those of a British outlook have to be accommodated fully and completely. But we live in a unique situation here where we share six counties of the island of Ireland with each other, who have different outlooks and different identities. Identity is the thing. And those both identities have to be equally respected and innocent and cherished. And that means I respect the unionist identity and they respect my identity.
And that's really true equality, would you say?
Equality, precisely. That was the whole point of the agreement, the Good Friday Agreement, was equality.
There was a great win. I know this might seem a bit off course, but you'll get where I'm going in a sec. There was a great win against the All Blacks in Lansdowne Road, but that was captained by a unionist who's wearing a green jersey and has just been awarded the OBE. That's something to be celebrated, surely.
Of course it is. Of course it is. That's a very good case in point, example of what we need to be like as a society, where everyone's identity is fully, equally respected. Absolutely.
Just in terms of, again, coming back to your own ministry and as a Catholic priest, do you feel that Christianity can offer, given that both identities are generally Christian, can offer an avenue for coming together through forgiveness? And will there be peace only when there's forgiveness in everybody's hearts?
Absolutely, because our identity essentially is children of God. What we call ourselves, British, Irish, English, Scottish, Italian, French, whatever. Our primary identity is that we are God's children, and that the people of God, the kingdom of God, transcends nations. In Scripture, the vision of the kingdom, all nations, people of every walk of life, language, culture, background, are included. So therefore, for us as Christians, inclusiveness, respect, multicultural, there's no room for any type of sectarianism, so-called divisive nationalism, xenophobia, etc. Any type of mentality that divides people, that attacks other people for being different, is anathema to the Christian. It has to be.
Anybody who hates isn't a Christian, is that right?
No one who hates can be anyone who hates is a murderer, according to the first letter of St. John. That's very blunt. You know, if you hate your brother or sister, you're a murderer. Simple, it's straightforward. So there can be no room whatsoever for anyone who despises or looks down upon or is prejudiced towards their fellow human beings.
Does ecumenism offer an avenue for hope, a vision, if you like, for hope for the future of the North?
Of course it does, because the coming together of the churches, I think, has always been a great force for good from the very beginning of all the troubles here. I mean, I remember hearing someone say one time that except for the fact that in most of the churches, most of them, Catholic and Protestant, the gospel was preached, love of neighbour. You respect your neighbour. You care for your neighbour. Love your God, love your neighbour as yourself. That was the core message that was heard in all the churches here, and it, I think, protected this society from degenerating into absolute mayhem, as it did sadly in other parts of the world. We had rough times here, but we did not degenerate into the abyss. Was there, we could have gone over it on several occasions, but I do believe that the vast majority of good people, Christian people, other people of goodwill, in all of the churches, Methodist, Presbyterian, Anglican, Catholic, you know, the other traditions, you know, smaller churches, that sectarianism did not get a grip. It did in some churches. Yes, there are some churches that fostered sectarian hatred particularly of Catholics. The attitude towards Catholics, even that they're not Christians, in some of these smaller groupings. But generally speaking, that the majority of Christians were faithful to the vision of Jesus, that they may be one. And absolutely no question about the fact that ecumenism and the oneness of the churches, even though we don't agree doctrinally on certain issues, that's reality. But we have what is called, what I think it was Cardinal Hume talked about, the ecumenism of the heart, where you can be at one with a person in heart. Just because you don't agree with somebody anyway is not an excuse for being against them. There are many people that I don't agree with, but I certainly don't hate them. I would cherish them and help them in every possible way. So there's no need for just because people today think if you don't agree that you're against them. That's not true. That's falsehood, you know.
In the RDS, there was a conference there, Charismatic Renewal Conference, and it basically a Reverend Jardine, I think is his name, David Jardine, that's right.
He's an Anglican brother, and he's done a great deal of work in reconciliation and healing ministries.
So he stood up and he addressed those gathered in the RDS, and it was a full hall, and he had said, he begged forgiveness of the Catholics gathered for the hurts his community had visited upon the Catholics. And then Father Pat Collins got up and he asked any non-Catholic Christians for forgiveness for any hurts the Catholics had visited on their communities. I mean, is that not the way forward?
Of course it's the way forward, because we are all guilty of attitudes and words, harsh words, unforgiving attitudes, divisive behaviour. Yes, we all have to repent of that, every single one of us.